According to a recent report by the New York Times published yesterday on Sunday, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries met with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, and kind of a close unofficial advisor. It's unclear what Kushner's official capacity is. I'm not even sure he has one, but he remains a close advisor to the president. Anyway, Hakeem Jeffries met with Jared Kushner to discuss the future, and in particular, if there is a House Democratic majority, to discuss points of commonality between the administration and this potential majority. Now, if you're the kind of person who talks about politics on the internet, you probably already know all of this, and you probably have an opinion of it. If you are someone who leans Democratic, leans left, leans liberal, whatever the case may be, I suppose you're pretty angry about it. That's how I found out about the report. I was just enjoying my Sunday, and this got passed around in my circles by people who are pretty annoyed about it. And I understand why. What do you mean points of commonality with this lawless and criminal administration, which has done nothing constructive for the American people and has attempted to plunge this country into an authoritarian nightmare? What do you mean points of commonality with an administration that cannot be trusted to hold to its own deals? Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney made this point well when he noted that under Trump, American promises are written in pencil, and that presumably goes for any agreement or promise made between this White House and a House Democratic majority. So why would you be looking for points of commonality with this administration? I always think it is a useful exercise to attempt to imagine the best reasons possible for doing something. You can call this steelmanning or whatnot, but to me it's just good mental hygiene. When you disagree with a choice someone makes, try to imagine the best possible reasons they might have for making that choice, the most rational reasons they may have for making that choice. And for Jeffries, I can sort of see it. If there is a House majority next year, if there's only a House Democratic majority, if Republicans hold the Senate, then that House majority will still have to be engaged in the budgetary process. A budget will need to be passed. And Democrats are not going to want to have a shutdown on their hands, especially not a shutdown that isn't for any particular reason. And so you meet with Kushner, the president's emissary, to get a sense of the kind of deals you might cut to get a budget passed. I'd imagine that you'd meet with Senate Republicans as well to kind of get a sense of the deal you might cut to get a budget passed. As a matter of internal congressional maneuvering, as a matter of the speaker's literal job, this makes total sense to me. As a matter of politics, I still think it's a bad idea. And that's where I think the critique is strongest. This is bad politics. If we step back and think about Jeffries' performance over the past year and a half, he's been quite good at keeping Democrats united in opposition to Donald Trump. There are quite a few Democrats who you could call blue dogs, conservative Democrats in the House, who are very much inclined to want to go along with Trump. And Jeffries has done a pretty good job of keeping them unified, especially on the big items. He is an able manager of the House caucus. But where he's much less competent, I think, is in being a national political leader, being a national stand-in for Democratic leadership. Understanding the larger optics of the stances he takes and the positions he has within the context of him standing for the Democratic Party writ large. The message meeting with Kushner says, even if it's a defensible choice, is that you, at the end of the day, don't think that the Trump administration is all that different from previous Republican administrations. That the public rhetoric belies a much more conciliatory private attitude. That's the message it sends. And that is a demoralizing message. It's a demobilizing message. It's the kind of message that tells people that it's not actually worth it to elect Democrats, because what are they actually going to do? So as a political matter, I think this was a bad choice. It was a bad decision. But again, I can see the reasoning, and I can even see the larger picture here for someone whose job is managing a House majority. If Democrats have the majority, they'll have a bunch of seats that are Trump districts, places that Trump won, that have a Democratic representative in Congress. And those lawmakers in those Trump districts are going to want to be able to tell the people in their districts, some of whom voted for Trump, that they are capable of bipartisan cooperation, that they can bring home bipartisan accomplishments, that they were sent there to get a job done and they're doing it. They'll view this as a political necessity. It's also well in line with just how Democrats think about their job as lawmakers. And I think that's on the whole admirable. More so than their Republican colleagues who really do want to prove that government cannot work, Democrats want to prove that the government can do something and do it well. They want to be able to bring home concrete, substantive accomplishments. And they're going to want to do that even when Trump is in office. And so from the perspective of a Jeffries looking at all of this, you're thinking, well, how can I give those members who are in, again, Trump voting districts, who might be vulnerable for the next cycle, how can I give those members something to bring home? How can I help them demonstrate that, yeah, they're doing the job that voters want them to do? Makes total sense. But here, I think it is a political miscalculation, potentially a fatal one. I've said before on this channel that I think people overrate the genius of Mitch McConnell as an opposition leader, that McConnell's key victories happened when he actually just had the majority in the Senate, and Republicans held the majority in the House under John Boehner for most of Obama's term. So it looks like genius maneuvering just is McConnell taking advantage of being in the majority. One thing McConnell got very right as a majority leader was understanding that the task of his Republican majority in 2015 and 2016 was not to pursue bipartisan bills with Barack Obama. McConnell understood that any bipartisan accomplishment passed out of the Senate, anything that has Republican votes on it, does not actually redound to the benefit of the Republican Party. It might help the particular member, but it principally redounds to the benefit of the president. The president is who voters say, hey, he passed this thing, and he gets the bulk of the credit. And what happens to members is going to be far more structured by national political conditions than it will by whatever legislation is passed. And so McConnell's thinking, as far as I understand it, was that the important thing for Republicans to do from the position of the minority, and then after 2014 from the position of the majority, was to obstruct the president and do as much as they can to shape national political conditions in such a way that it weighs down the Democratic Party, which obstruction does. Obstruction creates the appearance that the president cannot negotiate, cannot get anything done. It builds frustration in the electorate. And then there's an easy solution to the frustration. Oh, there's a Republican majority in Congress. Just give us a Republican president and the obstruction will end and we can get things done. I think this was very successful in 2016, this and keeping the Supreme Court seat vacant. Structure national political conditions, stymie the president, reap the rewards come November. Very simple formula, and it worked. It helps that Republicans just don't want to do that much to begin with. So it's not a real great lift to tell them to kind of be obstructionists. Happy to do it. That whole attitude towards using congressional power, that whole attitude towards politics, I think is foreign to Democrats. In fact, when I've made this kind of argument in the past, when I've talked to people about this, they kind of get uneasy. They recoil from it. What do you mean we don't do anything for 2 years? What do we mean we actively try to stymie the president? That we don't improve things, that we even let people hang out to dry so as not to give the president a victory. As much as I understand the desire to want to find a point of commonality or points of commonality and get something done, I also think that that's actually quite short-sighted. That's missing the forest for the trees. The goal Democrats should have should be to destroy the Trump presidency, to grind it down so much that come 2028, voters will be begging for a Democratic trifecta. That is the task of Democrats. And so yes, will they have to pass budgets and the like? Of course they will. But to me, that actually is the sideshow for the next 2 years, should they win the House. The main event is to use every single bit of power and authority the House has to make Donald Trump's life, Stephen Miller's life, Russell Vogt's life, Pete Hegseth's life, Marco Rubio's life, to make everyone in that administration's life a living hell. To drag them in front of Congress, to issue subpoenas, to utilize the power of Congress to control the executive branch and the White House itself in profound ways. And again, to just make their lives very unpleasant for the next 2 years. Russell Vogt once said that he wants federal bureaucrats to cry. I think the goal of a Democratic majority should be to make Russell Vogt cry, to make him want to leave, and to let these people know that when there is a Democratic executive branch, it won't just be Congress investigating, it'll be federal law enforcement investigating whatever law-breaking criminality happened in this administration. And that is going to require Democrats to let go of this desire to be do-gooders. It's going to require them to embrace being in opposition, which I still think they're quite reluctant to do to the fullest. Not only is that what I think most Democratic voters want, but I think it will pay greater political dividends than trying to find points of commonality and agreement. One more note about Jeffries' meeting with Kushner, which I'm sure the White House knew about. This wasn't a secret thing for Kushner. Some months ago, I said that if you're worried about subversion of the midterm elections, look to how Republicans are behaving. Are Republicans acting as if they're going to be in power for the next 2 years, or are they acting as if they may have to deal with the Democratic majority? When you look at how they're investing in Senate races, Republicans are certainly acting as if they may lose a Senate majority and will have to deal with the Democratic Senate. House Republicans are acting much the same way. And if the White House is meeting with Hakeem Jeffries in August before an election, that tells me that they are preparing for a Democratic majority in the House, that they know the way the wind is blowing, and that they know there's not all that much they can do to stop it. You should make of that point what you will. As always, thanks for watching. Let me know what you're thinking, and I'll see you next time.